Blog Talk Hello. Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. We need to talk about things that we encounter on the road to success, because sometimes we run into obstacles, and we've talked about this before. But sometimes we can be prepared for the obstacle that is going to greet us. And we sometimes wonder, how can we do this? We encounter sometimes the same obstacle time and time again. As such, we prepare obstacle may be. And when we get to the point of implementing it, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But we have spoken many times because there is nothing more discouraging than to think that you finally see blue sky, that you have arrived, that you've reached what you have worked for. And sometimes that is so sweet. And sometimes when we think we're there, we are not sure that we can handle one more obstruction. We can because we are strong. Even when we arrive at what we consider to be success, sometimes there are people trying to push us off the hill. They can become successful. We've talked about this example before, and it's important, and that's why we return to it at some point in time. During much of my adult life, we had people that were on top of the hill. They had the ability to remain there, but they often didn't. They remained at the same altitude that they were. But the world has changed. It changed around them. It changed under them. And sometimes they didn't see it coming. Whose fault is that? We sometimes look at the leader of a corporation, the leader of an entity. And when I speak of this, sometimes we think of somebody in a lofty position. But sometimes, just sometimes, I'm speaking to you. When I look at Sears Roebuck, or Sears as they later became known, J.C. Penney, Montgomery Ward, when it came to the leading three, at least within my community, these were them. But they have not remained on top. They may be somewhere and doing very well. Sometimes it's necessary to redefine yourself. Now imagine having to redefine yourself on the go, on the move. This often is where we are. Now we also see people that have been able to not only tackle the problems, but to succeed beyond their wildest dreams. When we look at Amazon, started by a gentleman who only wanted to sell a few books online, he saw something. It was like a train going by and a thread hanging off, and he was able to grab that thread, get moved along with the train. Not only did he get moved along with it, but he was able to find himself in control of that train and run it. And sometimes this is our goal. This is our intent. But sometimes we find ourselves swept up in success, seeing commercials, for Angie. It started out as Angie's List, and it was a housewife, Angie Hicks, who was looking for somebody to do work. We need to understand where we are going. I see churches, and some of them have grown to mega churches. Sometimes that idea scares me because I don't know how anybody can belong to a group so large that it's the size of some good-sized cities. I make choices. I have not, to this point, decided to join one of them. I prefer something more manageable. Now, sometimes we think that that is not a noble cause. We think that in order to be in the driver's seat, we have to be in the biggest train, the fastest moving train ever. That's not always where success is. We sometimes have to humble ourselves and go for what is there. There are many restaurants that serve excellent food, excellent, outstanding. That may be their desire because they're looking at more than just making money, if you will. They are looking at providing a service. They are looking at something that is very, very important to them. And then they find out better ways to do it. They find more effective ways to do it. And in that particular process, they find a place where they can be very, very comfortable. Now, this may happen to you, but we must understand that as we look from day to day, we often find that what we define as success sometimes changes, as we did with the man who wanted to sell a few books, became Amazon, one of the largest retailers in the world. Did he start out wanting to do that? No. But understand, focusing on what you want to do is important. And we must keep that ahead of us. Sometimes we feel like we are overwhelmed, because the obstacles are continuous. They become bigger. Recall my days working for the sheriff's department on the river. I talked to other people that worked on the river, sometimes doing much the same thing. We were there to ensure the safety of people on the water. It was not our job to write as many tickets as possible. I looked at the job as saving lives. If somebody did not drown, then I had done what I was supposed to do. There are other aspects to that job, but we have to look at how we feel about it. So sometimes we think that the goal that we have set is unimportant, because if you are a person who likes to make pies, P-I-E-S, if you're not making thousands of them, sometimes we think that we have missed the boat. But there are people that would be perfectly happy making enough to enjoy themselves, to feel comfortable. And how do they do this? Many times it's the fact of being able to serve a slice of pie to a person and just watch them enjoy it. Sometimes we have to realize what is really, really important. Unless you can serve that to one person, two people, four people, five people, whatever, and get a sense of satisfaction. Now, you send it home with someone, you may not get that immediate gratification. And sometimes you begin to wonder, was I successful? Was I successful? It's a difficult question to answer. But when a person has gone out of their way to get one of your pies, and whether they enjoy it or whether they take it to a relative or friend who absolutely adores that pie, it brings back memories. It brings back taste sensations. It brings back whatever. Then, yes, you are successful. Sometimes we overlook it. And sometimes we have to realize that this is only a step to what we can become. At one time, I don't know if they still exist. I have not been out of the house very much since COVID hit. Yes, I get out. And I get out more and more frequently. But I remember Miss Fields. She started a cookie company. I don't know what's happened. It may be that it has been purchased by somebody else. They may have gone in a different direction, all of which can be indicators of success. Sometimes people want to grow a business and grow it to a certain point and sell it and enjoy the rewards there. Then they may want to do something else. It may be similar, may not. We look at anti-compete clauses, and I don't want to get too far into that because it's kind of a technical area, and I don't need to get in that. There may be a time when we do decide to go there. But look at your calendar for this month. We sometimes want to put ourselves on autopilot. And by autopilot, that means we fall into a routine. To some people, falling into a routine is fantastic. That's what they're looking for. Other people, not so much. They enjoy the challenge of something new, of being able to create it, of being able to do it. Now, entrepreneurs are a different type person. But not all of them are the same. Not all of every anything is the same because we have different reasons for doing it. Some people may even decide that a business for them is a supplement they do in their regular jobs. Sometimes it's just enough to allow them to hang on. Sometimes they have a job for reasons of necessity, because it's expensive to pay for benefits. Sick policy or paid vacation, paid time off. I've seen people allow things to get them off track that to other people is a superhighway. I remember as I worked, taking a vacation, the first week of which was not a real vacation. My parents used to visit me. We had kids, their grandkids, and finally we found the solution to part of that problem at least. We had them and the kids spend part of that time together, and they both enjoyed it. My wife and I also enjoyed it because we were somewhat relieved to have someone who could take care of the kids that was responsible, that we knew, that knew them, and they all loved each other. Usually my parents came out for 2 weeks. The second week we would go as a family. Now to some people this does not work. To us it worked wonderfully well. But I found the first few days that I was off that I jumped up at the same time that I would go to work or that was necessary so that I could get to work and get there on time, to me, it just wasn't the same as a vacation. It took a few days to get into the routine of understanding, allowing that pressure to relieve itself. If that is your problem, then there is a solution. The solution that you come up with may be completely different than someone else. We train people, and some people do not like to give up control. They don't want anybody to be able to control their business because they consider themselves to be valuable when somebody has to call on them. When somebody has to call on them, then they feel needed. If that's it, sometimes we have to face the realities of what's taking place. And this is a part of life as well. Changing our ideas in midstream, sometimes it's essential. Sometimes it's essential for our very health or mental health. Sometimes we need to be flexible. And this is what I'm talking to about entrepreneurs, particularly because on the road to success, you have defined in your own terms, in your own mind, what is success. To some people, when we use the incident of the pies, being able to add the income from 100 pies a week may be outstanding. It may free up other parts of their life that they can do things. To other people, that is nothing because that's not where they started. It's not what they wanted. Neither situation is satisfactory, and both situations are satisfactory. I understand that sometimes it may take a while to understand some of the concepts that we're talking about, but they are essential for you. When my mother started her restaurant, there were people who told her that she should franchise. That word was not very well known to me at the time, but she did not want to grow so large that she didn't have complete control of the business. Had I been in her position, I probably would have. Which one of those is correct? Neither of them are correct, and both of them are correct. Her idea was not only to provide wholesome food, but it was to provide an atmosphere where people could come and would want to come. She enjoyed it when people enjoyed the food. She enjoyed it when people ordered, and she felt that she was providing a nutritious meal for people. She sometimes, particularly with bachelors who had no idea of the food groups, encourage them to try something new, something different, to add something to their diet, which was necessary. At the time, I didn't understand it. But her understanding went well beyond mine. I was a child, a kid. I ate for pure enjoyment. Had nothing to do with the food groups until I learned the value of them. You know, now I look and sometimes I am disappointed with a meal, not because things taste bad or anything like that, but I don't see the choices of what I feel are necessary for a healthy diet. Many times I look at a meal and say, well, I don't have a leafy green. Sometimes we find ourselves in positions. For example, people on dialysis sometimes have to watch their intake of leafy greens. This is something that they've eaten all of their life. But it interferes with the dialysis because of clotting factors and other things. I'm not a doctor. I cannot be aware of that. But when you find yourself in a position where things are changed, such as with heart conditions, organ conditions such as kidneys, we need to look to somebody that's responsible, that can guide us. One of the things that I found as being a kidney patient is that it's necessary to watch your intake of what's considered to be dark colas. And I'm wondering why. What does that have to do with anything? I began to understand what happens. And this is why it's important to recognize that you are part of a team when it comes to your health. I don't have that problem because I never have drank a lot of soda. I enjoy it. But I would just as soon have a good cold glass of water as a soda. Why? Because my mother allowed me one per day. One. I didn't understand it. But when I get back to the question of dark soda, it has a chemical tendency to remove certain elements from the body or not support them, and some that we have to be very careful about. Sometimes as we're doing this, we ask questions. Sometimes we just blindly go wherever. I remember one point drinking dark soda, and part of the reason was the fact that many of them used brominated oil. Brominated oil in soda. And I asked the question, why? Well, it turns out that the reason they put a very small amount of brominated oil in those products was to prevent them from separating when they got very cold. If you saw a Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola or something that got near the temperature of freezing, it would separate. The dark part would be in one part of it, and the other part would be almost clear. So the solution to the immediate problem was to take a very, very small amount of brominated oil. Now, I began to understand later that brominated oil was outlawed in many countries. Many. Why? And what in the heck is brominated oil? Brominated oil was used as a firefighting substance. It was used in firefighting. But we were driven here, not so much the fact that it was healthy or unhealthy, but because it provided additional income. They didn't have to throw away product. They didn't have to take it back and reshake it to, in essence, stir it up. The result of that was the health of people was in jeopardy. In jeopardy. But yet and still, we persisted, I think, at this point, that we no longer have that ingredient in there. So as we pursue our goals and objectives, there are some people that will take whatever route to get up with the end. And in the end, what they're looking for is financial success. Financial success. Other people may have taken a completely different route, not because they didn't want money, but because they were cognizant of things that are there. Sometimes that being aware is what put them basically in a time warp. Nowadays, the health of people is a paramount value. We look at the ingredients on products, and we sometimes see nitrates and nitrites, and they are put there as a preservative again, ultimately looking at the bottom line, not looking at the health of those people that consume them. So we were doing it. Now, some people would stay up late at night because that was a problem that they could not contend with. If you're only looking at product, and let's say you're making cookies or pies or cakes or whatever, and find that by putting a small amount of this in the product, nobody falls over immediately. But there are other people that are dedicated not only to the financial aspect of it, but they're looking at what happens to people along the way. There is a different level of concern. If you are watching television today, you see that there has been a recall of some baby formula. It's a plant-based baby food, plant-based things. I'm not a vegetarian or a vegan. And there are people that don't know the difference. And then there are levels of vegetarians. Some vegetarians can drink milk, eat eggs. Some don't want any products from an animal. So eggs are off limits. Milk is off limit because it requires a degree of sacrifice from the animal. Of course, when it comes to eating, we have the pig and we have the chicken, and the chicken's product leaves them alive. The pig's giving of anything requires its life. And sometimes we look at that. We have people that are making progress. Now, I want you to be aware of this, and the reason I want you to be aware of this is sometimes opportunity did not meet the time requirements. There are people that probably make plant-based products and may have even tried and may have even succeeded, but were in a society that was not quite aware of what's taking place. Now, we look at the world, and we have never had the problem of not having enough water. We're now finding millions of people facing the possibility of not having enough water. We're finding that in the western part of the United States, for example, people are buying land, not necessarily to plant on. They're buying large chunks of it in order to have water rights that come with it. Who would have ever thought that? I remember at one point in my life thinking, why in the world would anybody pay for a glass of water? Why? Now we're finding ourselves in situations where we are willing to do that, not only to drink, but sometimes to wash our clothes or our dishes in, because we have taken our eye off the prize. Now, this may be sounding somewhat far afield of some of you, and for some it may be. But what I want you to do this month, I want you to focus on this and look at the product or service. Because when we talk about entrepreneurship, there are many services that we could do to use as our end goal or even as a means of getting there. I saw something this week that I hadn't seen for quite a while, and that was a person that picks up after dogs outside. I had never thought as a kid that anybody would ever want to provide such a service. But then I find out that people are willing to pay well for people to do things that they don't like or don't want to do. As we look now at the conservation of water, I looked at my dad sometimes with amazement and amusement, because the way he took a shower and the way that I took a shower were completely different. Part of this is due to how he was raised, how he came up. In order to wash, you had to go to the well and get water and bring it back to the house. So I have some way to clean yourself as you were near the source of that water. That worked better in the summer than it does in the winter. But my dad would go in to the shower, get wet, turn the water off, and he had a bucket with soapy water in it that he would use. Me, on the other hand, that water's got to be running all the time. All the time, even when I'm lathering, even when I, no matter what I'm doing, that water's got to be running. At that time, it didn't make much difference because we had all the water that we wanted. But what we're looking at, things that people never considered. We have, let's say, a medication. We no longer need it. What do? We often flush it down the toilet. Does that get rid of it? In our house, yes. But what are we then doing? Sometimes we're poisoning ourselves because the systems that we have are not designed to take medicine out of wastewater. And we're having things where fish are coming up with altered genitalia. Because of the fact we have to have a cohesive look at what's going on. Some means of education, some means of entertainment are up for grabs. We sometimes see young kids, at least I see them from time to time, that can say the words to any song that I may not want them to learn. Because I don't like the lyrics, I don't like the story that the lyrics tell, and sometimes because of the profanity that's intermixed in it. Now, to many people, what I have found is a nuisance. To other people who look at this differently, and this is why we say that we must view things differently. It's necessary to look at things from an impact. But there are other people who see this and they are jumping up and down with delight. I didn't understand that. But what we found then is not the fact of trying to keep a child from learning, but what they're doing. What we have discovered in this particular example is absolutely amazing. It's outstanding. Why? Because we have learned a way in which we can teach people in a manner and pattern that they absolutely desire. They are crazy for it. People want to learn. They have learned something. But we have not gotten to the point where we understand that we can put different words, different ideas, different concepts together and use that as a learning tool. You know, we sometimes have ministers who have churches, and they are so concerned about the kids saying this or that or the other and don't realize that they have the key to their future. Teach them those songs or teach them using songs, but of ones that they desire to know. One of the reasons I believe that we have so many people that do poorly in our schools is because we don't encourage them to read. They want to read about this subject or that subject, and we are pulling against them. We're basically training them, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do what interests you, because it doesn't interest me. I need to be sure that it's wholesome. But use it. I need to use it. I need to be more flexible and understand that. Sometimes if you are providing a product or service, you need to know what works. You need to know what doesn't work. And sometimes that is the most difficult task that you have, trying to determine that single factor. So we have a situation where we have learned how to get a message over to people. It may not be traditional, but does it work? Is it wholesome? Is it something that can sustain itself? These are questions that are necessary for an entrepreneur, such as yourself, such as myself. Am I an absolute expert at it? No, because I'm learning, and I hope to learn something every day. We need to discern the fact, and I think many of the kids that I went to school with were hit with this, and they were hit over and over and over about the head and shoulders, because much of what we were learning was not geared to our instructional methods. And I look at that when I think of the songs. We found a method that works, but we are so bullheaded that we have to do it our way. Sometimes we find that we find a different way, and it is better for everyone. When I was young, when I was in single digits, I went to work during the summer. And I worked as a laborer in construction because I was working for my father and it was legal at that time. But I went because I wanted something. I remember wanting to go to a Boy Scout Jamboree and wanting to earn my way there. So I worked. I worked alongside men. But I was doing it because I wanted to. I understood what it would lead me to. And I found that at that point it wasn't necessary because it was difficult for me to do it in an unethical manner. I didn't have control. But from that, I learned that work has its benefits. Work has its benefits. But many of the kids that I was in school with were, in my mind, brilliant. They could remember facts that I couldn't, that I wasn't even interested in. But rather than taking that interest and channeling it in a way that was most effective for them, it was not. I had kids that could tell you every player playing professional sports. If it was baseball, they could tell you who, what position they played, where they had, what team they had been with before this team. They could tell so much stuff. But when it came to reading, none of the characters in the books looked like them. None of the characters in the books did the things that they did. Many times it was because we were hampered. They could do things with ease that I could not do. I was not interested. I have now a passion for history. And that's because I had an absolute hatred of history because I never saw myself represented in any of the programs. Now, I don't want you to do that, oh, he's into this area again. Part of the reason that I focus on this is for so many years, we have accepted or expected certain groups to succeed, and yet we put implements in their way to the point that in many cases, they have absolutely flat given up. Flat given up. And I see with encouragement, I'm not a member, but there is a black bank that is making tremendous strides. I'm not just talking to black people, because anybody can use a bank, but this one is dedicated to financial responsibility. They're helping people, and that gives me great joy. It gives me a deep sense of understanding. Sometimes, particularly people of color, have met obstacles because they could not find a bank to work with them. They could not find organizations that would encourage them. And people have gotten to the point where they have just flat. I had property in a nearby city. And it was so frustrating for me to deal with them. I've made this statement before. I felt as if they were holding me personally responsible for the fact that they had to give up Confederate Day in favor of Martin Luther King Day. Government should not work that way. Government should be able and willing to work with people in a responsible manner to make sure that we ensure the integrity of our entire system. And we can only do that if we become involved. But as we look at the even the institutions that we are dealing with, I look back very fondly. I've never met her, but I know of her work. Maggie Lena Walker, the first person, the first woman of any race to organize and operate a bank in the United States of America. It's important for me to tell that story, not just to black people, but to everybody. And the importance of that comes from the fact that we can do anything we set our minds to do. We can change laws, and we have done it time and time again. Sometimes we don't understand what's taking place because we have lost our involvement. I grew up as a black kid. In fact, I'm still black. I did not understand much of what was going on. The reason that I got into this area is I feel that all people, not just people of a particular race, particular religion, particular creed, have greatness within them. And it's my intent and desire to motivate us to get the most out of what we have to offer. When I look at Matthew, and we see the people that are given talents. One has five, one has two, one has one. And what happens? We have the person with one talent who buries theirs. And by burying it, we have to define what burying means. We go to another area and we see this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. To me, complements the other because of this. Your talent is like a candle in the darkness. It's better to light that one candle than to curse the darkness. And so we see time and time and time and time and time again, candles being shut out for whatever reasons. It is time to reclaim that power. It doesn't go far enough, but we have the understanding and the intent that we can do this. Because what happens to the person that has two talents? He develops it into four. He or she develops it into four. There is nothing to stop the person with one from developing two, to develop into four, to develop into eight, to develop into 16, and even past the person that had the five. It comes from personal challenge. It comes from understanding who and what we are. When we look at the Bible, there are two books devoted to the begots, as I call them, because we talk about so-and-so begot and so-and-so begot. And I'm sitting in church, and I cannot, for the life of me, figure out why they want and why it's important for me to know who came from who. But as I get into the area where I am now, where I want to encourage people, where I want to stimulate their desire to reach their goal, because somewhere in this vast universe, that idea has been placed in our minds, placed in our minds. And sometimes we wonder, how did it get there? How did it get there? I think it comes from divine providence. Now, as we go through and look at what comes up, we all have the opportunity to make things happen. We sometimes get education and intellect confused. Education and intellect confused. We think that in order to be intellectual, to be intelligent, we have to have degrees, letters behind our name. Not necessarily true. Because there have been people with great, great, great ideas that may have started out askew, but they learned. They learned how to make the corrections. We are in a country where there are people who are billionaires with a B that don't have a high school education, don't have a high school diploma. So let's throw that excuse completely out the window. But there are people who, with old-fashioned blood, sweat, and tears, have been able to succeed because we are created by a God that gives everybody the same abilities. We sometimes, and I look back at a black inventor who developed what is the precursor of the gas mask. And we sometimes run into these things, and it doesn't have to come out by race. But I want you to get the meat out of this example. He developed what he called a safety hood, and he was even able to demonstrate it because they had an explosion under Lake Erie, and people were trapped in there, not because they were dead or necessarily under tons of rock, but because the atmosphere didn't allow them to be rescued. When they sent rescuers in, the rescuers had to be rescued. He said, I can save these people. He demonstrated his device, and it was effective. He was able to go in the atmosphere, bring people out, go back in the atmosphere, and bring them out. You would have thought that people would clamor for access to that. Didn't happen. Did not happen. Why? Because the color of the inventor stood in the way of good sense. Yeah, it stood in the way of good sense. Because knowing that lives could be saved, people said, no, don't want it. So what did this guy do? He developed a way around this obstacle. How? By pretending he wasn't who he was. He hired a white person to be him. He, in turn, pretended to be a Native American. And what did he do? He demonstrated. The guy that he hired talked about the product. To demonstrate it, he pretended to be a Native American and went into a poisonous atmosphere and demonstrated its effectiveness. You should never have to do that. But what we find is success-oriented people always find a direction. I want you to understand this point coming up very, very clearly. That is, a belief in yourself is like a gift from God. Now, God's not going to tell us what to do, or else we would have everything that we could possibly imagine. He gives us ideas, and sometimes we say, I'm not ready for it. And that, I think, is like slapping him in the face. We look at Martin Luther King Jr., for example. When he went to Montgomery, Alabama, he was asked to lead a different way making progress. Some people cannot see this even to this day. When black people were forced to pay full fare, to ride the bus and treated as if they were obviously second-class citizens, they got tired of it. There were many that said, we can't do anything about it, but they were determined. Martin Luther King earned the Nobel Prize. He did so many things. And why? Because he was nominated. And rather than coming up with every excuse in the world not to take it, he took it. He was an academician. He was great in academics, but he understood a principle that I want you to understand and apply to your life tonight. That is, when the student is ready, a teacher will appear. Martin Luther King surrounded himself with people who he could work with, who he could learn from, who he could teach, because often this is a two-way street. Sometimes you learn more by teaching someone something than you do on your own. You may not understand it, but understand the power of faith. Understand that we have free will. You know, I could run out right now and do something plumb stupid, but I don't. I don't. And I don't want you to do that either. I don't want you to give up at the first time there's a bump in the road. I want you to know that what idea you have, that it can be successful beyond your wildest dreams. When I talked about Maggie and Lena Walker in Richmond, Virginia, starting and operating a bank, I want you to understand that there is now heavily advertised a made up of four banks, four black-owned banks. They're now one, and they are dedicated to improving the black community. Why? Because others have not focused on doing that. We put requirements up there. I worked for a man that got promoted. He went to corporate. And I remember in one of the staff meetings, one of the people that was bold enough to confront the situation, saying it's a good thing you got promoted because according to the qualifications for your replacement, you don't meet them. And that often happens. It often happens. I want you to hear this. So we are looking to have degrees behind our names. I prefer not degrees, but I prefer that motivation. I prefer a person striving to become the best that they can. It may come about through YouTube videos. It may come about through watching a particular program. It may come through reading magazines. And there is sometimes a benefit to reading magazines rather than reading books. Ladies and gentlemen, as we come to this point, I want to sometimes mention something that I sometimes fail to do because I get so excited about the program. And I hope that when you tune back in that you will remember this information. I hope you have pencil and paper and write down this number, 646-668-8217. That's an important number because it allows us to interact. We're coming to the close of the hour, and I want to make sure that we get off in time that the next program can set up and properly go. The program that we had just before, it's a great program. I listened to the entire thing. But we have a situation that, and a feature, and at this point it's just an excuse, and it's an excuse in my mind, because excuses only please those who make the excuse. Had a little bit of difficulty because somebody had not hung up the phone, and I couldn't come on. But I want to show the respect because we have a program coming on with Deacon Armstrong, Wesley Armstrong, I believe. It's a fantastic program, and I get so much enjoyment out of talking with you, of passing on information that you may be able to use to further your progress on the road to success. I also want to call attention to the platform because on Crown Talking Drums, there are other programs that can help you, and these are people dedicated to providing service information and what have you to people that are looking for information. Many times people give up because it's difficult to find information. I want you to pass on not just this program, but the entire platform of Crown Talking Drums. Look at the lineup. See what's coming on. Find programs that you like. Invite other people to the same fountain, because this is a fountain of knowledge. It's a fountain of youth. It's something that carries us forward. And when one of us goes, and I don't care who that person is, I don't care what color they are, I don't care what race, what gender, I see God's abilities just blossoming. And the fact that one can do it means that another can do it. So I don't confine myself to a single group, a single race. The program that you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. I also have a program on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, that's devoted to understanding those roots and our history. And it's on Black history, but it's not Black history. It's Blacks in history, because we have made it. We have contributed. And I do some dedication to the fact of color, because so many people have not taken their power, have not grabbed what they can grab hold to. They didn't grab that string that was hanging off the train that allows them to get on a moving train and get into the engineer's compartment and drive it. Drive it. That comes from our Creator. So I'm going to stop at this point. I encourage you to join me Sunday, to join us here at another, again, every week, because we're here. I love my audience. And with that, I am going to close, not because I don't want to stay with you, but because I want to give Brother Armstrong what he needs. He's got 90 seconds. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed and join us on those two times every week. I love you. Share the link. Share the site. And we will reach our definition of success. Good evening.